Hey, this is Tim Emmerich, one of the men's pastors at Gateway Church, and we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this inspires you and gives you a new perspective in life. Let's listen in as Gateway's lead men's pastor, Todd McIntyre, shares an incredible message on masculinity.
Hey men, welcome to our Men's Summit podcast, and I'm excited to talk to you today about a topic that is really dear to me. And I just entitled it a pretty simple topic, Masculine Men. You know, it's interesting. I'm the men's pastor at Gateway Church. I've been here for 8 years. I've been running and working with the men of Gateway in Dallas and been training some other churches to do the same thing. And the reality is finding men who are masculine is harder to find than you really think. But masculinity is powerful. In fact, God designed us as men to not only be masculine, but to be leaders. Listen to the stat I got from Men's Catalyst website. It says, when a child gets saved first, there's a 3.5% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. When a mother gets saved first, there's a 17% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. But when a father or a dad gets saved first, there's a 93% chance the rest of the family is going to get saved. Why do you think that is? Because God designed men to be the leaders. It's not a male chauvinist thing. It's not that we want to put women down, but it's God's way. It's his org chart in the way he designed life. Listen, even my dog knows this. My wife does everything for my dog. She takes her on walks. She feeds her. She takes her outside to go to the bathroom. She does everything for her. But when I come home, my dog wants to sit with me. My dog will follow me around the house wherever I go because the dog knows I'm the alpha male of the house. It's hilarious. Even the dog knows who the leader is in the house. Guys, men are called to lead. The Bible makes it clear that men are leaders. And I need you to understand that because today we're going to talk about really a leadership topic. We're going to talk about how do we become the true leaders, the masculine, the healthy masculine, true leaders of our home. When you think about leadership, Henry Cloud did a topic with us at Gateway. He came in, did a staff meeting, and he talked about leadership, and he talked about really the basic definition of leadership is taking men from, or taking anyone from here to there. Like, I want to get you from one point to another point. We are here as an organization, but we want to get here as an organization, and a leader can get us there. And so he told us there's a five-step process for every leader to go through when they're trying to get an organization or a group of people to go from here to there. And here's the five steps, and we're going to talk about these today. He said the first step is know the desired outcome. The second step is you got to get the right personnel. The third step is you got to create a strategy. The fourth step is you got to evaluate your progress. And the fifth step is you got to make the right adjustments to get you back on track. So if we're going to be leaders, if we're going to be healthy masculine men, if we're going to be the healthy leaders of our home, really we have to understand what leadership is. And we got to understand how to lead. But the first thing we have to recognize is if we're going to lead other people, we have to first lead ourselves. And guys, I can tell you right now, the hardest person to lead isn't your wife or your children or your business. The hardest person to lead is you. So today I want to talk about how do I get you from here to there? How do I get you from being where you are now to the most healthy, masculine man that God designed you to be, the spiritual leader of your home, to be the man that God wants to lead his family, to lead in the community, to be strong, to be healthy. What do we got to do? And so I want to talk about these five steps in really defining how to get you to become the masculine man God wants you to be. So the first step we want to talk about today is what is the desired outcome for every man? If you're going to get men from here to there, I got to tell you that there's a direction we want to go. We are here, but we want to get you to being a healthy masculine man. You know, when I first started at Gateway, we had a weekly meetings that we did with men, and we did three weekly meetings. And this one particular week, we brought in a special speaker. His name was Billy Grammer, and he was invited to come because he was an expert in purity. He was an expert in sexual issues. He was an expert in helping guys deal with lust. And so I was excited to hear him because that was an issue that I dealt with in my life. And so as he came in, instead of talking about purity, he kind of flipped it this week, and he talked about masculinity. And I got to be honest with you, I couldn't really tell you what masculinity really was at that point. It was about 8 years ago. I can tell you I want to be masculine. I can tell you I don't want to be emasculated. I don't want to carry my wife's purse. That's embarrassing. My wife goes to the bathroom in the mall and I have to hold her purse. I'm always holding it like a football because I'm embarrassed. I don't want to look like an emasculated man. But I couldn't tell you what it really was. And so Billy Grammer literally defined what a healthy masculine man is supposed to look like. And he took us through the process from birth to death, how to get there. And today I'm going to give you a Cliff Note version. This was a 45-minute talk. I'm just going to tell you really quick what he said, how a man goes from being an immature man to a healthy masculine man. And he started at birth and he said, from birth to 5 years old, if you're a healthy masculine man, you have what he would call a direct relationship with mama. Which means all of your relationship, all of your spirituality, your emotions, your physical stuff, anything you need, mom did that for you. She was your direct link to life. She was your top relationship in your life. But he said, if you're a healthy masculine man around 5 or 6, you start to separate from mom, and then you start to build relationships that he would call indirect. Indirect relationships are really simple. Indirect really means what you do. Direct is who you are. Indirect is what you do. So these indirect relationships are based on what you do. So it's simple. If I play baseball, my friends come from my baseball team. If I go to school, my friends come from school. Whatever I do defines me, and it's where I get my relationship. And he said, if you're healthy from 6 to 13, you get a huge dose of indirect. You do a lot of competition. There's a lot of black and white. There's rules. You learn to follow the rules. You learn what type of rules you're supposed to have. If you're friends and if we're playing baseball and you're my friend and you decide to go to third base instead of first base first, you're not going to be my friend because you're going the wrong direction. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't play with us because we go to first, then we go to second, then we go to third, then we go home, and that's how you play the game. And if you're not going to follow the rules, we can't be friends. And indirect really is defined by what you do and how you do it. He said, girls, completely different. Girls from birth to 13, they're all direct, which means they're about relationship. They're about community. They're about coming together. My daughters thought about weddings at 5 and 6 and 7 years old. My son's 16 now. He still doesn't even think about his wedding. It's not even in his vocabulary. But my girls are all relational. They understand how to connect. My son, he didn't care about that. He just wants to win the next game. And I remember playing Monopoly with my son and daughter, and I'm losing, and my daughter's trying to give me money and property because she wants the game to go on, because she wants dad to stay in the game. She likes what it feels like to be in this community. My son's fighting with my daughter. No, he's out. I killed him. He's out. I get his stuff. Why? Because he won. And listen, neither one of them is wrong. My daughter's coming from a direct relational aspect. My son's coming from an indirect aspect. Together, they're both right, but they're just different. And guys, one of the things you have to recognize is we're different. And then Billy said this. So birth to 5, we're direct with mama. 6 to 13, if we're healthy, if we're going to be healthy, we're really indirect. We get our relationships from the indirect, from what we do. But he said from 13 to death, the goal for men is to go from being indirect to direct. What does that mean? It means we go from just doing things to figuring out who we really are. What are we like emotionally? What are we like spiritually? Are we... Who are we as a person? Not just what we do, but who are we? And if you're really going to be a healthy, masculine man, you're going to understand these things. And so the desired outcome really is what I want to talk to you about today is if you're going to get where we want you to go, you have to be a guy who desires to be masculine, who desires to be strong, who desires to be a leader. One of the things you have to realize is you're not going to get there just by being indirect, by doing a lot of things. You won't get there until you figure out who you really are, what you are directly. So number one, our desired outcome is to make you a healthy masculine man. Number two, if we're going to create this leadership strategy, if we're going to get you from here to there, the first thing, a desired outcome. The second thing is you got to get the right personnel. And I got to tell you, on this topic, you are the personnel. You, the personnel is you. a man. You're the man. We're trying to get you from being indirect to direct. We're trying to get you to be a healthy, masculine man. You're the personnel. I got to get you to do the things that you need to do to get there. And I think it's interesting, as you think about the personnel, you got to think about, what do we want to do with the personnel to get them there? Tom Landry has a quote. Tom Landry was the first, and I think one of the best coaches ever to coach the Dallas Cowboys. We're in Dallas, so go Cowboys. But he had a quote in his autobiography, and I want to read this to you. It's a really cool quote. It says, as a coach, I got to get my players to do what they don't want to do in order for them to get what they want to get. I'm going to read that again. He says, I have to get my players to do what they don't want to do in order for them to get what they want to get. Every NFL player wants to win the Super Bowl. Every NFL player wants to wear that ring. But not every NFL player wants to go to practice. Because guys, here's the deal. If you're going to get to where you want to go, it's going to take training and it's going to take practice. And Tom Landry understood that as a coach, and we've got to understand that in our life, if we're going to become healthy, masculine men, it's going to take training and it's going to take practice. I want you to hear the scripture in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. It's Paul talking to Timothy. It's Paul trying to help Timothy become a healthy, masculine man. It's Paul inspiring Timothy and encouraging him to become all he's supposed to be. And it's 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. And I'm going to read to you out of the Message version. And he says this. He says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. I'm gonna read it again. I'm gonna read it in the NIV version, which I think the Message version is awesome. But listen to the NIV version. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. What is Paul saying here? If you will train yourself in godliness, it will help you in everything you do, with your marriage, with your kids, at work, church, whatever you do, if you'll train yourself in godliness, it will help you and has value for all things. Some of us are more concerned about our physical training than we are our spiritual training, because we see the outcome of our physical training we get a little skinnier, maybe our muscles get bigger, and we see that quickly. But a lot of times we don't see what godliness does. But let me tell you something. The most attractive men in the world are godly men. Men who have self-control are attractive. Men who lack self-control are not attractive. And so if we're really going to be healthy, masculine men, we got to be men who are willing to train ourselves in godliness. Listen to Hebrews 12, 11. The writer of Hebrews says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there's a peaceful harvest of right living for those who were trained in this way. Guys, that word trained comes from a Greek word. It's gymazo. And the word literally is spelled G-Y-M-A-Z-O. It means to train. Get in the gym. It's where we get the word gymnasium. It's from the Greek word gymazo. And what the Hebrew writer is saying is, if you're going to become the man God wants you to be, you're going to have to get into the gym spiritually. There's going to have to be things you're going to do spiritually that are going to get you where you want to go. I can remember in May of 2001, it was a night where I had shared with my wife, probably for the 30th time, maybe more, I don't know, it was a lot, that I was struggling with lust. And I had told her that I went on the internet and I looked at some pictures that I shouldn't see, and I wanted to apologize and repent. And of course, I was feeling guilty and shame from what I did the night before. And so I shared it with her, and she forgave me. And I thought it was over. Like every other time, I thought we would just go on about our lives. But my wife found out there's a history on the internet. If you can go on the internet, you can find a history. You can see all the things that I had seen. And I didn't know there was a history. The internet was new to me. And she went on and she saw every image I looked at the day before. And I can tell you, it was mortifying. I remember she called me into the bathroom while she was getting ready. And she said, I want to talk to you. And she said, I went on the internet last night and I looked at the history of everything you looked at yesterday. And it was bad. And my heart just sank. And my wife's a general. She said, do it again and pack your bags. Don't come home. And I remember thinking, I gotta change. I didn't know how. And listen, it wasn't the first time I thought I needed to change. It's probably the 100th time I needed to change. But now my wife's telling me if I do it again, I'm in trouble. It was that day I went to a Starbucks to meet with one of my friends, and he threw me a book, and it was Every Man's Battle, and literally Every Man's Battle is a book on sexual purity. And it's about pastors and leaders who have fallen sexually and steps you can take to try to get out of that junk. And I'm telling you, I devoured this book. One of the things that I recognized from reading this book and just praying and asking God is he said to me, if you're really going to fight this thing, you've got to get in the presence of God. The Bible says that where the presence of God is, there's freedom. And so if we're going to get free from lust or anger or anything we're dealing with, we've got to fight not to get out of those things, but we got to fight to get in the presence of God. And one of the best things I did during that time is I created a strategy for my life to fight to get in the presence of God. I started getting up early and spending time with God. I started praying with my wife. I started fasting once a week. I started fasting the first 3 days of the month. I started fasting the first 7 days of the year. I started this a long time ago, and it's now 2018. I'm still doing these things because my fight isn't against lust. My fight isn't against anger. My fight isn't against whatever. My fight is to get in the presence of God, because where the presence of God is, there's freedom. And so I had to realize that if I'm going to become a healthy masculine man, I have to realize right now, if I'm going to become a healthy masculine man, number one, I have to be willing to understand what the desired outcome is. But number two, I've got to develop me. I've got to become the man God wants me to be. I got to train, guys. I got to train. And the third thing Henry Cloud taught us was not only do you have to have a desired outcome, not only do you have to have the right personnel, but you got to have the right strategy. And guys, I'm going to tell you that God's given us a strategy to become healthy masculine men. And really, it's what I'm going to tell you is just one word. It's a simple word, but it's a word probably you're going to think, no, that's not masculinity. But I'm telling you it is. And the word is love. I want you to soak that in. The word is love. The strategy that God gave us to become healthy masculine men is love. You think about it. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about becoming the greatest leader, you had to first become the greatest servant. But it wasn't just a servant doing things for others. You had to love the people you were doing things for. God has called us to love. In fact, there's a couple things I want to just talk about love. But the first thing is you have to recognize love is the requirement for all Christians. If you don't love, you'll never even be a Christian. Forget being a healthy masculine man. You'll never even become a Christian. Let me read you some scriptures on love and just being a Christian. 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. If you can't love God, he's never even going to recognize you. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Guys, you can't say you love God and you don't love your neighbor. Look at 1 John 4:16. It says, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God's calling us to love. Let me give you one more. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Guys, the strategy to become a healthy masculine man is learning how to love. The second part I want to talk to you about love is without love for others, all your good works mean nothing. I mean, this is a simple scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. Listen to this. It says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Think about that. If I knew every language on the earth and all the languages of the angels, but I didn't love others, it doesn't mean anything. It says, if I had the gift of prophecy and I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing, the Bible says. And verse 3 says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. We could boast about all the good things that we do, but guys, if we don't do it with love, it means nothing to God. And the last thing is where I want to leave you today. The strategy for becoming a healthy masculine man is love. But I'm going to tell you guys something. Love defines your masculinity. I want to explain this to you. Love defines your masculinity. My wife and I, we have decided that part of our spiritual training, part of our training to become godly is we're going to take time every day to spend at least 30 minutes talking about our emotions, talking about spirituality. I'm trying to become a healthy masculine man. I want to be not indirect, but direct. I'm trying to get there. And so one of the things I've asked my wife is, if you see anything in my life that's not godly, if you see anything that I'm doing that's not Christ-like, will you tell me? She said, yeah, of course, that's easy for her, but hard for me. But I wanted someone to help me see things I can't see, and I believe God gave me a wife to help me do that. And one time during this conversation, we'd come off a series of some hard weeks that we'd been together. She said, I want to tell you something. I feel like sometimes you act like a boy. Now, to be honest with you, when she said that, I wasn't happy. It kind of frustrated me, kind of upset me, and instead of criticizing her or getting mad or defending myself, I said, unpack that. So she unpacked it. There's times I pout or I get easily angry or I just, when she says something I've done, I want to point out things that she's done. And I get it. I felt like I did do that, but honestly, I really couldn't see it. And so we got done with the conversation, and I'm telling you, this is just going through my mind. I'm trying to figure this out, and I just did a quick prayer as I'm walking out of the room. I'm like, God, will you help me see what she's seeing? Because I don't see it. I was reminded of what Paul said when he said, when he was a child, he spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when he grew up, he put away childish things. And I was reminded of that scripture, but I couldn't tell you where it was located. I didn't know where it was in the Bible. And so thanks to Craig Rochelle and the YouVersion app, I actually went on my iPhone and just typed in child. And what popped up was this scripture, and of all the places this scripture could pop up, of all the places in the Bible, it popped up in the chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you've been in church for a while, you understand the Bible, you know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. It's the chapter that defines love, and it's the chapter that Paul says that defined his masculinity. And then I felt like God said, go read it in context. And so I go back and I read 1 Corinthians 13. There's only 13 verses. And I get to verse 4. And verse 4 is where it defines love. And I want to read to you what I read. I'm going to just take you through the journey that God put me through. And so I just started reading verse 4. And it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice with injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And then verse 11, again, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And then in verse 13, it says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And then all of a sudden God said, just quicken to my spirit. Read it now instead of love is. I want you to read it a man is. Just read it again. So I went back. Verse 4. A man is patient. A man is kind. A man is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. A man does not demand his own way. A man is not irritable. A man does not keep record of being wronged. A man does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. A man never gives up. A man never loses faith. A man is hopeful. A man endures through every circumstance. And then it hit me. There's a lot of times that I don't act like a man. I act like a boy. Listen, at that time, I was 47 years old. I'm 49 years old right now. And there's a part of me that still thinks like a boy and not a man. And then God said, now I want you to read it as if you were a boy and read it opposite. And so I went back. And I'll just read it to you how I read it. A boy isn't patient or kind. A boy is jealous and boastful and proud and rude. A boy demands his own way. A boy is irritable. A boy keeps records of being wronged. A boy rejoices about injustice but doesn't rejoice whenever the truth wins out. A boy gives up. A boy loses faith. A boy isn't hopeful and will not endure through every circumstance. And then I started evaluating myself even more. As we're talking today, we're talking about a healthy masculine man. How to become a healthy masculine man. We talked about Billy Grammer talking about indirect to direct, becoming not just what you do, but who you are, understanding your emotions, understanding your spirituality, knowing that's the direction we want to go as men because we want to be godly men, recognizing that we are the personnel, recognizing the strategy for all this is love, and then realizing that love really defines our masculinity. I want you to take a moment to do the fourth thing that Henry Cloud teaches us and evaluate yourself. Have you been acting like a boy or have you been acting like a man? Or are there areas in your life that you are acting like a boy? Maybe there's other areas you're acting like a man, but you want to shore up some of these areas. Evaluate yourself. Really, that's what a message like this should do. As we're starting to think about where we want to go in life, as we want to be more like Christ, as we want to be more godly, more spiritual, we have to evaluate ourselves. And we have to then, the last piece is make the adjustments. And I can tell you in my own life, I realized there's a lot of places in my life I was acting like a boy, and I want to be a man. I want to be a healthy, masculine man. I want to be a man who understands who God is and understands who he is in my life and who I am and what I'm called to do. And so I had to make some adjustments that day. And so I repented and I asked God to help me to become the man God wanted me to be. And this is what he showed me. He took me to a scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. And you know the scripture. I'm sure you've heard it many times. But it's Paul talking to Timothy about being a man, and he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And God showed me the reason I struggle being a powerful man, the reason I struggle with love, and the reason I struggle with self-control or a sound mind is because I have a lot of fear in my life. And he said, it's a spirit of fear. You've got to get rid of it. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but he gave me the ability to be powerful. He gave me the ability to love and gave me the ability to have self-control. And fear was paralyzing me in those three areas. And so I repented about my fear. And guys, I'm going to take you through the prayer that I went through with God. I said, God, I am afraid. I am afraid. I'm afraid of my wife. I'm afraid of success. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of doing things wrong at work. I'm afraid of not being the guy you've called me to be. I'm afraid. And so, Lord, I give you my fear. As Colossians 3 tells us to put to death our spiritual things, but clothe ourselves with God's virtues. God, I give you my fear. And I ask you, Lord, to clothe me with your courage, to clothe me with your purity, to clothe me with your love, to clothe me with the things in my life that I need to become the man that you called me to be. And I literally asked God to help me with this exchange. And as God started pouring this, and he's still pouring this into my life, still giving me these things, showing me areas of my life where I'm afraid, showing me areas of my life where I've acted like a boy, I'm becoming more the man God wants me to be. And guys, that's what he wants for all of us. He wants us to be healthy, masculine men. So today, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, but I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would evaluate yourself and you would repent in the areas that you need to repent and you become the man God's called you to be so you can lead in your home, in your community, in your church, wherever you are. So Father, I thank you for these men. I thank you for all the men that are listening today. I thank you, Lord, that they're coming to you to evaluate themselves and maybe they're recognizing some things in their life where they've been acting like a boy and they want to be men. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take them into manhood today, that you would walk them through your rite of passage, that you would take them from being that boy, that indirect boy, to being that direct man, Lord, that can lead his family, that can lead in his home, that can lead in his business, in his place of work. Lord, that he would be the man that you've called him to be. Lord, that we would be healthy, masculine men. Lord, I thank you for this message that you gave to me. I thank you for this message that you spoke through me today. And Lord, I pray that you would touch every man that needs to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you'd like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.